How's everybody today? Did you see any snow this morning? Anybody?
No.
No snow?
Busy at my grandma's house.
Too busy to see the snow? Or was there any snow? Did it snow today?
No.
It didn't?
It's just winter.
It's winter. Okay. Anybody want it to snow? All right. I thought so. All right. I've got a little experiment today, okay? Bullfrog, how about holding that for me? All right. Now I've got two extension cords here. Y'all see the extension cords?
Yeah.
All right.
One's yellow, one's orange.
All right.
I know one is.
All right. Which we want to see if we can make this light work. This is the cord goes to that light. Which one do you think I ought to plug it into?
The yellow one.
The yellow one?
Yep. No, the orange.
But I like orange better.
Orange.
I like orange better. Okay, let's see what we get. All right. All right. You ready? Well, careful it doesn't shock you there, Bullfrog. All right, here we go. All right. Nothing. And I think we're getting some help here on this. Let's make sure we. All right.
The yellow one's plugged in.
What?
There's no plug on that.
What?
You gotta plug it in.
Well,
there's no plug on that.
There's a plug right here. I plugged it right in.
The yellow one's. No, there's gonna be another plug.
I plugged it in right here.
Look. No, but there's gotta be what? Another plug.
That one's got the yellow one right here.
Oh. Wait a second.
It's not connected to.
Do you know? I think Brother Dane doctored my extension cord. Where's Brother Dane? I think he cut it. Okay. All right. So
the yellow one's gonna work. The yellow one's gonna work.
So this is the one you think ought to try. Let's see if we can try it. Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. Here we go. It still doesn't work, Bullfrog.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Do it on me.
Bullfrog.
All right, here we go. So.
Do it on me.
Okay. So what did we determine by this little experiment?
That somebody cut the extension cord.
Dang!
Yep, somebody cut it off. But for the light to work, what does it have to have?
Power.
And this one, though it had a nice looking brand new plug, this one's kind of dirty and dingy. But this one, it's nice and new, but it's not connected. This one's connected to the power source. Now, listen to this verse. Listen. This is from the New Living Translation. 2 Timothy 3:5. It says, some people act religious, but they reject the power that could make them godly. When we're not plugged into God, we can act religious and all that, but we don't have any power until we plug our lives into Him. He is real and He is personal. And He loves you. And He has a special plan for each of y'all's lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. We pray, God, that each of these truths from your word would just dig deep into the hearts of each one of these children and the big children who are here today, too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dave, next time I see you.
All right. So y'all can go to your class now. Well, good morning. It's good to see you today. I'm glad to be here. Well, that one's not going to come up. Let's see here. Yeah, there we go. There it is. Thank you, Dave. Obviously, some of y'all didn't get the memo today. Stand up here, Dave.
Okay, here it comes. We get some mileage out of this.
You didn't get the memo today, but oh, I have a song prepared, but it has a certain hee-haw-esque quality to it that I'm sure y'all would really enjoy. Super Bowl Sunday, I guess, will be the most watched event of the whole TV year tonight, all over the world. People that in other countries that do not understand football will be watching that. And then you got one side that's watching the football game and then the other side watching the commercials. Tuesday, we have a primary. Our country is in the middle of the process that we go through every 4 years to elect a president and a vice president. And things are changing, and it's probably never been a more important election than this one. And I've said that about the past three or four elections that we've had. God wants to speak to us if we'll let Him. Right now, He wants to speak to you. I don't know what's been going on in your life this week, what things are challenging you, but I do know for certain that He has a message for you today. You'll listen to Him. I encourage you to do so. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about choices. We talked about prayer and prayer walking that first Sunday of the series. And I have a question for you. Have you prayer walked through your house and in your neighborhood and at your business? If so, was God spoken to you? Do you really believe He wants to speak to you about those places? I do. He wants to say something to you. He wants to instruct you. Will you let Him? Second Sunday, we talked about the Bible and its primacy. And we encouraged you, we gave you a way that you could go through the Bible topically by genre in a year. Whatever you use, you know, it's kind of like translation of the Bible in my mind. You know, which is the best translation? It's the one you'll read. Which is the best Bible reading plan? It's the one you'll execute in your life. So you can allow God to speak to you. Third Sunday, and I ask you on the Bible, have you begun that? Third Sunday, we talked about salvation and assurance of your salvation. And we looked at the plan of the gospel and then being sure, know that you know that you know that Jesus is in your life. We have a choice. We can choose salvation. Just like we can choose prayer, we can choose the Word, we can choose to know for certain. He wants to speak to you and give you the assurance of your salvation. Last week we talked about evangelism, and I said the last point of the message was one word with a question mark. Who? Look in that seat next to you that's empty. Who's going to be sitting in that seat in 6 months, 4 months, 3 months? Who is God inviting you to share your faith with? Now today, in this fifth installment, we're going to look at the church, but maybe look at the church in a little different way. In the body of Christ, His body on this earth, the people, not the building, not the organization, not the meeting, but the people. We who are the flesh and blood part of the body of Christ. You know? And what's happening in the church today in our culture? With what is called church in our culture. Let me ask you this. Is the church staying true to the Bible? There's a resounding answer to that. Is the true church in America growing? Resounding answer to that too. Is the church pleasing in our country, in our city, to Jesus in its overall expression, do you think? Today. Has the church compromised? Has the church left this book? Does the Holy Spirit have much to do with most churches? You know, the verse that I share with the children today, 2 Timothy 3:5, it says I read it from the New Living, but here's the New American Standard. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. You know, having something that looks on the outside like it's the real thing, but there's no power. There's a vacancy sign shining there. Now we're going to look at a couple of verses today and see what Jesus had to say about the church. A lot of places we could go today, but I'm going to keep this really pretty simple today. Matthew 16:18. You know, this comes in that when he's asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they give the list of answers of his identity. And by the way, that is the question, isn't it? Somebody asked me the other day, said, well, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses talk about Jesus. Mormons talk about Jesus. Are they talking about the same Jesus? Answer, absolutely not. You can use a lot of the same words. Not have the real thing. So Jesus was posing that question with his disciples. And then when he got those answers back, he said, but who do you say that I am? And then comes this answer from Peter. What did Peter say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here's Jesus answered him. Now I say to you, as he looked at Peter, he said, Peter, Petros, you have to parse a little bit in the original language. You are Petros, Peter, which means rock, Petra, and upon this rock, this Petra, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell cannot conquer it. Now, one One group thinks that that began a series of church leaders, i.e. the Pope. And Peter was the first Pope. Wrong on that count, because it doesn't fit the context of the verse. What's he talking about? Jesus is using a play on words. What had Peter just said when he says, I'm going to build my church on the rock? Well, if he's talking about, you know, Peter himself, well, Peter was a pretty poor foundation for the church, because what would Peter do when he got his chance to really stand up for Jesus when Jesus was arrested? What did he do? Denied him. And Jesus predicted that. He already knew, Jesus already predicted he was going to do it, and then he went on and did it anyway. So what is he talking about here? I'm not talking about Peter the man. He's talking about what he said. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And by that statement here, this man with all of his foibles, with all of his inconsistencies and everything else, about a real guy, just like us, was saying, "I'm going to transfer my trust in you. I'm going to recognize that you, Jesus, are the Son of the living God." And for him to make that statement, boy, you make that statement in that time, that was heresy to the religious leaders that were listening in, because they'd say, well, that means Jesus is claiming to be God. Exactly. The old statement from the preacher years ago, people got mad with something he preached, and he interviewed his wife after, said, "Are people mad with your husband because they've misunderstood him?" She said, "No. They're angry with him because they understood exactly what he said." They would have been angry with Jesus that day because they understood exactly what he's saying. He is claiming equality with God. He is claiming to be all God and all man at the same time. Deity. So, there you go. And that's the statement that the Lord calls on all of us to make when we become a Christian, isn't it? He's calling on you to say, "Lord," and bow before Him. And in doing that, what you have done, you have turned from your way of doing it, where you were sitting on the throne, being Lord of your life. You have turned from that. That's repentance. Turned from that, and you have turned to Him and said, "You're Lord of all." He is not one Lord or the top Lord in a bunch of Lords. He is the one and only. When He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life," those were exclusive statements. I've told you before, the Greek bears that out. The original language bears that out, because they put the extra article in there. It's assumed in the Greek language that the article would be there. But when you write it out, it's like you've got to underline it and say, the. "I am the way, the truth, the life." Okay? Got it? Pretty plain? That's a great thing. Oh, Pastor, that's great. That's going to change my life this week. I hope so. Second verse. Now we get over here. We move from Matthew. We moved over here into the letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 6. Boy, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, man, he's messing with people. Here he makes a statement. "For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies." Did you fight this week against any flesh and blood enemies? Were there some people in your life this week, and those of you that were here at 9:30 for the teaching this morning, hey, man, we're dovetailing right together here with this. "We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. There's a battle going on. We'll come back to that one in just a second. John, if you would, go on to our next screen. Now, I came up with an alternate definition of the church today. I wanted to put it in words that would describe this. And you know, other definitions would be equally biblical of the church. But I want you to pay attention to this one today. The church is God, the church. And the word there, the original language word is the word ekklesia. Ek, out of, klesia, the called. Called out. The called out ones of God. That's who we are. By definition, if you're being called out, what are you being called out of? Being called out of your sin, your way of saving yourself. Remember this? Remember this example? You repent and then turn to Him. That's faith. Repentance and faith, two sides of the same coin. You're being called out of your way of saving yourself, your sinful life, and He's calling you into a relationship with Him whereby your life is changed. So the church, the ecclesia, is God's organic strategy for you. Each word is weighted here. For you to fight the real-time spiritual battle of the ages. Now, battle of the ages? Is there a battle going on in your life? Is there a battle raging around you right now? Do you feel forces at work that you cannot explain in your life? Do you feel like there's conflict? And when you say conflict, conflict means there's a battle going on, a tug of war that's going on. Do you feel the tug of war? You feel the tug of war when you have to make decisions about things in your life. You feel the tug of war when there are broken relationships in your family. Do you feel the tug of war when you turn on the TV and you have this one over here that used to be, you know, and now especially in political climate, hey, they used to be allies, now they're at each other. You see the tug of war. The trying to be king of the hill kind of thing that goes on and on and on and on. Do you feel that in your life? Do you feel it in your job? You said, oh, well, if we can just get rid of this person at our job site, in our office, in our organization, if we get rid of them, we'll get rid of all the problems that go on. How'd that work out for you? Because what happens? It's kind of like those little... You know that little game where the gophers pop up? They give you the bat for the kids, and you're waiting for them to pop up, and bam, bam. That may be the way you feel about your life. Waiting for evil gophers to pop. What's going to be the next one? I've heard it said several times by several of you this week. Phew, man. All right, we got that over with, but what's the next thing? Because what have you been trained by? You've been trained by life. You've been trained to know that you're in a battle. Come back to that in just a second. Let's go back to the definition. The church, God's called out ones, is God's, it's a gift from God. So, this thing we call the church is God's gift. It was created by God, designed by Him. I mean, He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that put it together. And then what do we do with it? Boy, we can mess up a one-car funeral. We can do it again and again and again. Man, just Just put it in the hands of us. I mean, we talk about the government. We say, man, I hope the government doesn't take over that, because what happens when the government gets it? You add 10 layers of bureaucracy, and the thing you start out with, it never looks like it does at the end of the thing. Accountability goes out the window. So the church is God's, and it's His organic strategy. Let's talk about organic. Organic, you think about organism. It's alive. People all into organic food today. I think in some of the grocery stores, though, they shine up, put a little different tag on it, and use the same food. Man, doesn't it look good? And get home, and it's almost like you feel like you got to say, oh, it tastes better. And it's better for me. But a lot of what's going on with that organic food is real stuff. It's not being artificially. The growth isn't being artificially produced. You know a lot of chickens we eat? They never leave the... They sit right there. You know, no wonder you can... Man, I thought I was going to get cheated at Popeye's the other day. It's not a commercial for Popeye's, but I do love Popeye's fried chicken. Whew. No, I don't like KFC. But I love Popeye's. And I thought, man, I messed up and I ordered the all dark two-piece. Do you know that the leg on the chicken that I got, that thing was that big around? And I bent into it. I said, man, surely it's got to have that much breading on the outside. But no. It was meat. My first trip to Nigeria, they served us chicken one day. Of course, they didn't call it chicken, they called it yard bird. And it is organic over there. Because the chickens, they get whatever's left out there. I mean, it's truly organic. And we asked the girl, well, what piece of the chicken? Well, we're going to have a leg and a thing. Man, that leg on that chicken, it was that long, but it was about that much bigger on the outside with the meat that took place. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting there, you know, I'm thinking, what do they do to chickens in our country? You see, something that's organic has to be live. Take this to another level. We can talk about this later on. But y'all know most of the bread that we eat comes from dead grain. Y'all knew that? It's been artificially doctored. It's been produced. It can't produce. It can't go on. And you wonder, as you're looking forward, about all these things that are non-organic, what it's doing to you. You see, the church is organic. It's alive. I didn't believe this about grain, and a buddy of mine, he said, he wanted to teach me about grain. He said, here, here's some, you know, there's some different grains, there's some wheat in there, some other grains that were mixed in. He gave me a handful of them. He said, are you staying with me for a couple of days? He said, let's put them in this little bowl. He said, I'm going to add a little water. You know, by the next day, that grain had started to sprout. It's because it was alive. It's organic. It's organic. Church is organic. Because when Jesus comes to live in us, it's not an artificially produced result. You see, we've come to a place in the church, we believe, well, whatever man produces, as far as his results for the church, he's got to maintain. I'm saying to you today, God meant for the church to be organic and let the Holy Spirit maintain it in our lives. Got it? That makes sense to you. Where it's alive, where your life is changed from the inside out. All right? It's an organic strategy. It's His strategy for your life. It's His plan. God does not have a plan B. He doesn't have a plan B for you or for your life. His plan is that you be a part of the body of Christ on this earth. And that you're inviting other people to be a part of that body. All over the world right now, the body of Christ is spreading out. I was listening to radio early this morning, and this guy was giving a testimony. He said he was encouraging us to pray for the believers in Iran. And I thought, well, I can probably count those on my toes and my fingers. But I got corrected because he said, through reports, and this guy's pretty on top of it. He not only is connected in the body of Christ, he's connected militarily. He was in special ops at one time. He said, there may be today as many as 3 million underground believers in Iran. Organic. Man, that's why when something's alive, that seed is alive, you throw it out there and try to keep it from growing. It's going to happen. It's His strategy. It's His way. A lot of hotshot preachers today selling books and doing podcasts and all that stuff. And popularity is for a while. I'm old enough now. I've lived through those. I was one of those hotshot preachers at one time. Kind of left some of the hot and some of the shot behind me, but I look at it now, and I see you're getting a crowd today, Bubba, but you're getting it with compromise because you can't change the essence of what the body of Christ is. The church is His strategy. That there's no replacing that being together. No replacing that the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. No replacing the fact that God always meant for His church to be multi-generational. Always. Organic strategy, and it's for you and for me. It's personal. It's designed, especially. So that you can fight, because we're in a battle. And we're in a battle royale today. A battle for our lives, a battle for our country, a battle in the earth right now. There are wicked despots that are right now sitting in power in our country that would take from you every right that you have and would take this right to assemble away from you and would say that you cannot go out on the public square and share your faith as we have had the freedom to. And there are European countries right now where you are thrown in jail for that. France, Sweden. Go down the list. Read the stories. It's happening. And it's real time, to use that computer lingo. It's right now. It's right now what is happening. Believers are being persecuted for their faith. And it's not a new battle. It's the battle of the ages. Why do you think that Jesus talked about his kingdom? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now get it. Thy kingdom. Let's stop right there. Man, when you're talking about a kingdom, who's going to be in competition with that kingdom? Every other person that wants to call him or herself king. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth. How? As it is in heaven. He wants us as his, part of his kingdom on this earth, expressed in the earth, to be a reflection of him as it is in heaven. How you doing with fighting the battle? Year was 732. Any history buffs already ahead of me? Anybody? Probably hadn't heard this one in a while. The year was 732. The year of our Lord, 732. Don't go for the CE stuff. Across northern Africa, the Islamic hordes were chewing up territory. The dirty little secret is that you don't read much about how many of those villages and places and cities were destroyed as they slung their empire, as they came westward across northern Africa, leaving the dust and the grind in their path, in their wake. They came and crossed to the Iberian Peninsula, what we'd call Spain today. The news had gotten to the Frankish kingdom where Charles Martellus, the hammer, that was his name. He was the king, was trying to consolidate his kingdom there, what would later become largely France, Luxembourg, all those countries there, in his kingdom. He heard they were coming. They were well organized, well oiled, well supplied, and the weaponry was cutting edge. And they worked their way up through Spain. They were coming. At the time, Charles the Hammer, Martel, he was trying to fight all these other minor battles all over the place, and he knew he didn't have what it took. And here you basically have the Christian kingdom, and you have the Islamic kingdom that's on the way. As a good general would do, Charles Martel managed to retreat strategically. Remember anybody else that did that? In Texas? Sam Houston? To retreat strategically. And finally, he was able to pick the time and the battlefield. The place was outside of Tours in France. He was on an elevated spot. He had no cavalry. And here, these Islamic hordes, I mean, they had cavalry, they had everything. But he was on an elevated spot, and there was a wooded area that went up to that elevation. All he had was infantry. But he kept managing to delay the battle and delay the battle and delay the battle. Because in between time, He was calling. All he had there was basically a volunteer army. These guys were like a militia. But he put out the call to all over the country to get his battle-hardened troops, the ones who had been out there. Some of them had been with him for 10, 15 years. He knew they had been in battle. They knew what they were doing, and he managed to collect them there. The battle ensued. You can read about it later on. Maybe I've pricked your curiosity. The advantage of the using the retreat and the overconfidence of the enemy, and they had all of this horde of spoils that they had gotten. Well, Charles Martel sent a small guerrilla force to come around behind them and to rob their supply train of their treasure. Now imagine it. They became distracted at the front lines because here, so many in this horde of people, they were after what they could get for themselves. He used that against them. The battle took place, and it was a bloody battle. But in the end, the Islamic army left the field. Now, Charles Martel wouldn't let he's a wily general. He wouldn't let his troops go follow after them because he thought it might be a trick. And he made them wait. They had discipline with battle. Not only did they lead the field of battle, they went back home. One of the most strategic battles in the history of Western civilization, because it stopped the growth of Islam. God is calling on us to be the church today and get involved in His organic strategy where we live, where we work, and be the church and fight the battle. We've been talking about it every week in prayer, in getting into the Word, in sharing our faith, and in growing as Christians. He's calling us. And He uses all of us. He uses the hardened veterans that have been out there and been through many battles that can show you how to do it. And He uses the green troops that have just come off, just there showing up for their first battle. But it takes all of us. He wants to do that in Savannah, Georgia. He wants to do that with the Sycamore Church. I'm asking you today. And guys, I'm not just talking to the women here. Okay? You got me? Eyeball to eyeball here? God's calling some real men who get involved in the battle. The real battle for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. The battle for this city. Are we going to sit back and watch Savannah, Georgia become a hellhole? Are we going to take action? Where we live, where we work. You say, well, I'm only one person. I believe it was Patton that said, everybody that fights a battle is afraid. He said, but true courage is staying at it 1 minute longer and not letting anybody else on the battlefield know you're afraid. Staying at it. God will give you the courage right where you live. I'm asking you. I'm calling on you today. And God's calling us in the front lines. He isn't calling us to collect and sit in orderly pews and be part of box Christianity. Real time. That's out where we live and work and play, go to school. Standing. Standing. Let's pray. The altar's open. You can come on now if you want to. The altar's open if you want to come and pray. Lord, I'm praying for us to be the people you have called us to be. Calling on you, Lord, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come in our lives. Come, Lord. Renew us by the power that only you have. Thank you. The altar's open.